Welcome to Talking Fußball Fantasy, your source for all things official fantasy Bundesliga, with player picks as breathtaking as a Jonas Hector brace, fancy advice as shocking as Erling Haaland missing six clear-cut chances, and two pundits who are about to produce their most off-the-cuff episode ever. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. My name is James Thurgood. This is Talking Fußball Fantasy Season 4, Match Day 31. And joining me, as always, I may actually have to stop calling him the Fantasy Fußball God after what happened in midweek, but for now it is Flo Reinicke. Flo, talk to me, my friend. What happened?
A bottle both late kickoff times again. So I left players on the bench, which wasn't that bad in the end because it was Leiner and Dahoud and they didn't pick up many points, but I forgot about changing my star man. So it would have been Kostic and Guerrero if I had, but I did stuck with Mukiele and Dinkunku from the early Tuesday game. So that was definitely bad form. Did cost me 10 points. Would have been enough to pick up more points than you, James. So yeah, well.
Yeah, that's the thing. I shouldn't poke too much fun because I only got two more points than you, despite you having all these problems.
Yeah.
But I had a midweek to forget as well. I wasn't particularly happy with it. You know, two of the players I brought in were Erik Durm and Jonas Hoffmann, who scored 2 points and 3 points respectively. I went for the differential star man in my back line on Wednesday night and went for Benzo Baini over Guerrero. That did not work out at all. And Andre Hahn didn't even play. So yeah, I had a few mishaps in there as well. I was actually really great for the fact that Roland Schalai and Christian Günther were in my team that allowed me just to have 14 points in the bank ready to go. Because, yeah, there were more pressing things to do with my transfers in midweek than worry about actually getting rid of two players I knew would be picking up 14 points.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, then now we get to hold on to them for this week. But it was a bizarre midweek as a result. And there are some very good form players that I think we need to start talking about, because we talked a couple of weeks ago about the template being torn up. I think we're starting to see a few template players emerge for what could be the last, you know, couple of match days of the season. And we are only a few away now before the end of the campaign. So it's exciting times. But as we mentioned, it is an off-the-cuff episode. And admittedly, I completely forgot to send out a response or a request for listener questions. But luckily, one was sent in anyway, which we can dive into. So from at BFLBman09, he says, question for the Match Day 31 Fantasy Manager show: with Haaland in a striker's goal slump, is it the right time to drop him, especially since Dortmund play Wolfsburg, and who is a good replacement, he asks. And he says, by the way, I have Wout Weghorst. And I have to say, the first response here is that I am jealous that you stuck and stayed loyal to Wout Weghorst, because it was a cracking decision over the last couple of match days that I wish I had made. But Flo, what's your take on Erling Haaland?
Well, I mean, at least he got the shots against Union. So I think that's like, I'm worrying more about the matchup than about Haaland not hitting the back of the net. Because, I mean, the game before the Union game, he did score twice against Bremen. So, and I'm not sure why he didn't take the penalty against Union. But, I mean, you're looking as if he did.
Erling Haaland, he did take the penalty. Yeah. He missed the penalty against Union.
Oh, yeah.
He missed it. He missed twice. He missed the first shot and then he missed the rebound as well.
You know what?
And then
James,
Royce had to settle it all up.
I was so caught up with the Bremen game.
Don't you worry. Don't you worry.
I got that Dortmund got a controversial penalty, but I missed that it was missed.
Well, don't you worry. As we said, this is an off-the-cuff episode. I'll be honest, I haven't watched all the highlights from midweek either.
Yeah.
So I have read about the Werder Bremen incident, but I haven't seen the Werder Bremen incident. So you're not alone. Don't worry.
Yeah. Okay. No, I've just seen the Bremen game. After that, I didn't have any taste for the rest. I know the stats, but I haven't seen the game. But yeah, thanks for looking at me like I'm an alien. So I instantly knew that something was wrong there.
That was it. I was trying to work out whether you had swapped the team name as opposed to the incident. But then I was like, no, he is talking about the Union game. But yeah. I mean, to be honest, like, this has been a wild week in the world of football. I think it's fair enough. And that's why this is an off-the-cuff episode, because I think both of us have been pretty run-to-the-mill this week. Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, last time I said that I think you can drop Haaland. I think he did score, what was it, four goals? No, three goals it was, huh? Wasn't that bad.
Back in 2020, yes, so there was a situation.
You never know with Haaland. I wouldn't bank on him. So I personally, I'd love to bring in Lewandowski, and that's a perfect swap from Haaland to Lewandowski because you're freeing up a lot of money. And that's why I'd rather sell Haaland this week than Weghorst. So that would be my take. And I mean, we're not sure how big the impact will be, but Dortmund will be without Mats Hummels at Wolfsburg. So maybe that's giving Weghorst another edge here.
Although I just want to hesitate because I think, if I'm not wrong, at BFLB man 09, who I think, if I'm not right, not wrong, goes by the name of Robert. He's a Dortmund fan, clearly. And he has, I believe, a policy where he doesn't pick Bayern players throughout the entire season. So Lewandowski for him is not a worthy replacement. But I think it's fair to say that throughout the rest of the show, we'll be throwing out a few names that will be worthy replacements. So shall we crack on and dive straight into the fixture list with that Friday night game, Augsburg against Köln. Now, this fixture has ended in Köln collecting all 3 points only once in the last 13 Bundesliga meetings. That was when Köln were victorious 3-0 in the very first game between these two teams in Germany's top tier. And I guess the question after what's gone on, not just in midweek flow, but on the weekend and last weekend, Jonas Hector has come out of the woodwork since the international break. If I'm not wrong, a couple of match days ago, he set up 7 goal scoring chances, which was the most of any single match day. He missed 2 glorious opportunities the match day that followed. And then in midweek, he finally bagged his brace. And I don't know, he turned into Lionel Messi for like a half an hour spell against Leipzig, seemingly. And the question is, I mean, is he someone, or how seriously should we really consider bringing him in to our teams?
You could think about it, but I'm not doing it. I mean, he had a good game against Mainz, too. He gave an assist there, had 13 points and 5 points at Leverkusen, and now like the 21 point explosion. But he did play almost as a striker against Leipzig, and I'm not sure we're going to see that again, especially since Andersen is back with the Cologne squad. So I would hesitate to bring Hector in. If he were a defender in the game, like, no questions asked, he should be in our squads. But as a midfielder, I think, and with a price tag of 10.5 million, so he's not that cheap, I personally probably look elsewhere, and I'd rather invest in the Augsburg side on Friday evening. I mean, the Cologne Leipzig game was it's a freak game. That sometimes happened. I did a list of the matches where the expected goals tally, like the luckiest wins, if you want to say so, for this season. And this match was on 4 there. Cologne did pick up 0.6 expected goals, and Leipzig handily over 2. But in the end, Cologne got the win. But 5 shots on goal for Cologne, 23 shots on goal for Leipzig, and Cologne won that game. But still, Cologne wasn't really able to create much, and that's what giving me pause. And I mean, it's a really, really tough match to predict, the Augsburg-Cologne game. But Augsburg is going into this game, and they basically know if they win and in, if you'd like to say so. So if they can definitely clinch not being relegated. I'm not sure what the positive term is for that, but
survival.
Yeah, they can clinch their survival with a win against Cologne. I give them a small edge, especially since we know it's hard coming off a win like the one against Leipzig to get emotionally 100% concentrated on a match, Augsburg, especially since it's already on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. I just wondered whether this is the classic type of game where Augsburg will maybe take their eye off the ball a little bit because they have that cushion above the drop zone.
But like,
and Köln just being uber motivated might be give them the edge.
Could be, but I don't think that Augsburg feels like there's a cushion.
That's probably fair.
because Hertha is sitting on the relegation playoff spot. They are 7 points behind Augsburg, but they have two games in hand. So it could be that Augsburg is only 3 points ahead of Bielefeld and Bremen if you make a virtual table with Hertha winning their two games in hand, which are against Mainz and Freiburg. So it's not out of the equation that they could win these games. And I think that Augsburg will be aware of that fact. And like in their mind, it's Bielefeld at 30 points, who's actually like the threshold for the relegation playoff spot. Because
yeah.
The other stuff, the matches will have to be played. And you can't calculate with Hertha not getting something out of that. So, yeah.
Okay, well then, who are you investing in? If Augsburg are now the more investable side in this game, who are you looking at?
So I think Iago is a great pick for 3.6 million left back. He already was back last week, but we saw Heiko Herrlich. And that's also, like, that's another argument for Augsburg taking the Cologne game very seriously, because Herrlich almost just fielded his second squad at Frankfurt. So he rotated the whole team. So they are now rested against Cologne. There's a boatload of players that didn't play at the start at Frankfurt. And Iago is one of them who I expect to be back. And for that price tag, we know he likes to get forward. So he's a good choice. And in midfield, Vargas and Hahn. Also, guys, I look at Hahn playing out of position. Your poster boy, James.
Well, he didn't play midweek, so he didn't come off the bench either. So well rested. And
And Vargas too.
Yeah, that's it. And I'll be honest, I anticipated him being dropped in midweek. And if I had had an extra transfer and Dani Olmo and Angelino hadn't been dropped from the Leipzig squad, I probably would have got rid of Andre Hahn. I'm now hoping that it kind of works out on Friday night, where I might have a Friday night midfield involvement without having to make a transfer, which does please me. And Andre Hahn, if he is out of position again, because it's not like Niederlechner did a lot to really keep Hahn out of the squad. So, I do like my chances with Andre Hahn.
No, it really, to me, it felt like Herrlich was saying, okay, the game at Frankfurt is a bonus game. If we get something out of it, fine. If not, I want my important players to be rested for the game against Cologne. What I don't understand then is that he fielded Urukai, who was on his fourth yellow. He did pick up his fifth yellow, and he's a key player and now missing against Cologne.
Yes.
Like, you're doing this whole three-dimensional chess, and then you're missing that. Like, that was, that was probably not the best he could do, but still, Hovelöf can slot in there for Urukai, but still, that's something that's definitely not ideal for Augsburg.
No, definitely not. And this is it. I mean, it's a weird Friday night game where you want to invest in the Friday night game, but it's not the easiest to invest in. And I think we've picked out some good players in there. It's not to say that it's really necessarily going to be this, mega fantasy points haul, because as we pointed out, I think last week, Augsburg down there with Bielefeld in terms of least shots per game. It could be a gritty, gritty Friday night game.
Cologne is close to the bottom as well.
That's true. So. In terms of the chances they concede. Yeah, that's it. Could be that both just break the trends completely. We'll see what happens. But let's move on. Wolfsburg against Dortmund. Have touched on this already, but Dortmund have scored in each of their previous 27 Bundesliga match days, with their only blank this term coming actually in a 2-0 loss to Augsburg on match day 2. We've talked about the striker conundrum, but if you were to pick a player from this game, Flo, who are you picking and how do you feel about this fixture?
Not good, James. I'm not feeling that confident about any player, I have to be said. I'm just not sure what's going to happen in this game. I think you can stick with your guns with Guerrero at least, because defense is where the options on high-priced players who can really have peak performances are slim. And that's why I'd rather sell Haaland and get in a player like Lewandowski than selling Guerrero and not knowing who to bring in, who really like has a high percentage chance of outscoring Guerrero. I'm not sure. Maybe it's Angelino, the guy I'd look at. I don't know.
I don't like his form since his return, I'll be honest, Flo. And Nagelsmann doesn't seem to like it either.
Well, he didn't really return. I mean, he played 45 minutes and then he didn't play at... he came on off the bench at Cologne. I expect him to start against Stuttgart. Stuttgart is the first team who could like say, okay, it's summer holiday for us. We're not doing anything. Because they are sitting at 39 points. There's nothing going to happen towards the relegation zone. But they already 4 points clear of the seventh spot, which could or could not be enough to get into the Conference League. And I'm not sure that's something that really motivates a team to play in like almost a fourth-tier European competition if like the plans we that were happening since our last recording would have come into to fruition. So, yeah, maybe Angelino, but that's the only one I'd look at. So Guerrero would be my pick here.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's a tricky one to call. I mean, Wolfsburg, they were one of the best backlines in the Bundesliga, and then they started shipping goals for fun in the last couple of games. Admittedly, not in midweek, but it does lend itself to this unknown quantity that this match is in a fantasy sense. So I'd agree with you. I think Guerrero is a safe pick. Sancho becomes for me more interesting after this game because yes, he is back. It's good to see, and he did make an impact off the bench, and ultimately his return should help players like Guerrero, like Haaland. But yeah, I prefer him after this game against Wolfsburg. I wouldn't necessarily be dying to bring him in just yet.
Yeah, although they after Wolfsburg is Leipzig, so... Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Sorry, yeah, you are right.
yeah, but you could be right. So Leipzig could clinch the Champions League playoff spot now, and then Sancho might actually be an interesting differential next week with Leipzig having nothing to play for. So... yeah, I'm not counting that out. It's just not like next week that he's playing now at Wolfsburg and then it's Leipzig. And I mean, the same goes true for Haaland, of course, as well. So these are definitely players I'm not that keen in to signing. So I'd rather stick with my Frankfurt assets because they're playing now at Leverkusen, but then it's looking nicely for Frankfurt. So. Yeah,
I have to admit, I wasn't thinking of selling Haaland before we started recording, Flo, but you're starting to make a more and more convincing argument. I mean, my other problem is that I've got Alexander Zurlot, and I'm not sure he's necessarily a lock to start for Leipzig against, you know, Stuttgart. So,
I can tell you a secret, James.
Yeah, you've tapped up Nagelsmann already.
Yeah, he's no lock to start.
He's no lock to start. Great. That's
like any other Leipzig player, almost.
So. That's great. My position has changed. Absolutely not at all. So I'm still just as uncertain. This Haaland idea, or the idea of selling Haaland is becoming more and more interesting. But let's move on to Freiburg against Hoffenheim. Freiburg well rested, of course, because they weren't in action in midweek. That game against Hertha postponed. But they have won both of their last two home games in the Bundesliga, keeping clean sheets in both and scoring 6 times. Freiburg have also emerged victorious in all of their previous 3 meetings with Hoffenheim. So in terms of a player pick here, Flo, who are you going for?
It's a tough one, but I'm sticking with my guns with Christian Günther. I think he's showing good form in the late run of the season. I also like Schalai as well. So I've got like, I did the same as you, did stick with my two Freiburg assets, and they are in my lineup. Also, at least these guys delivered, although they didn't play. But yeah, Günther would be my pick, and Schala is also nice. And I mean, Kaderabek, I was waiting on that performance while I had him in my team, but of course he pops off a game like this if like he's not in your squad. Kramaric is back on the track, but you definitely could go Hoffenheim, but I feel... I mean, I talked about Stuttgart not having much to play for. Hoffenheim, I mean, there's a slight doubt left that they will stay up with 35 points, but still, like, the big pressure is off for Hoffenheim right now, I think. So I'm not trusting them at Freiburg.
But then in the midweek performance flow doesn't make any sense because they were 2-0 down at halftime against Gladbach. They should have just not done anything. But
well, they like, had 32 points in midweek. Okay, now so they're sitting at 35.
So you feel like the 3-2 has put them over the hill. Now they can kick their feet up.
That was a big effort. And maybe now like some of the pressure is gone and it leads to letting it slide a bit. I'm not sure. I'm just not like if you would invest in Hoffenheim, definitely Baumgartner, Kadarabic, and Kramaric a good option in a vacuum. I just don't trust them because we've seen them having good and bad performances really on a weekly basis. Yeah, it's not something where I like to hang my hat on.
No, definitely not. I mean, I commentated their game against Leverkusen, which, you know, basically felt like one final Monday night protest from the players because it was such a poor game and they only had 2 shots on goal in that entire game. And now they had 19 against Gladbach, even though they were 2-0 down. It's an interesting dynamic. So I agree with you. They're not the easiest to pick from. I was convinced you were going to throw out Baumgartner, though, as your pick as opposed to Günther, but I don't mind the Günther pick at all. Let's move on. Union against Werder. Now, Union haven't tasted defeat on home soil since the campaign's opening weekend. They've claimed 6 wins and 8 draws in the capital across the 14 games that have followed. How do you feel about this one, Flo? Because, yeah, it's a big one for Werder, but
it is.
There are some interesting fantasy players involved here.
I definitely would go the Union side, although I've got this, I got an inkling feeling in the back of my head that now that everything looks really bad after that loss at Mainz, that they will emerge with a win at Union, which might be a deciding one in the relegation battle. I'm not counting that out. I have some hope, but if I had to bet, I would still like, if you give me even odds, I'd still bet on Union because they are the better side this season without any question. And of course, one who's pivotal to Union is Max Kruse, and he would be my pick. But this is not a match I'm keen to invest on at all. Yeah, I would just look elsewhere because it's not a standalone fixture. You don't have to force the issue and bring in a player of Union or Bremen. Maybe Trimmel is interesting because like Bremen sometimes is prone to be vulnerable after set pieces. So that's definitely something that could happen, especially since Toprak is still out, which really hurts.
Yeah. Okay. No, I agree with you. It's not the most investable game. And so I wouldn't necessarily be really picking anyone out. I was happy to throw Milot Rashica out as a Vegas choice in midweek. And it wasn't the worst choice, but you know, you guys racked up a fair few shots and he wasn't involved in the majority of them actually, which I was a little disappointed to see.
He had a bad game. Yeah. I'm not sure. So you said you didn't see the game. So you didn't see, like, Mainz had a corner. And after that, there were 3-1. So 3 Bremen players being able to counterattack. And in the end, they didn't even get a shot on goal because Rashica at first, he had trouble controlling the ball. Then, he's called Rocket. Then... God's sake. Yeah, then show it. Like he was like if we had so much time and Eggestein, like then he played a bad pass to Eggestein. Eggestein wanted then to let Niakate run by him, but he that just stick his foot out and got the ball and then that was done. That was so stupid. And yeah, he didn't have a good game at all. Bremen Mainz, well, the game as a whole was a lot of shots. 19 shots Bremen, 13 shots Mainz.
Yeah. And Robin Quaison was the one you wanted. I think he had 7.
Quaison didn't play. Onisivo.
Onisivo. Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. Not Robin, but Karim. That's it. He had 7 of Mainz's shots on goal and wasn't a bad player to have on that occasion. But yeah, no, I mean, I agree with all your points. And if you did bring in Rashica in midweek on a Vegas choice, I wouldn't necessarily say he's the worst one. You know, you could stick by him. You could stick by him.
No, you can keep him. I think he'll keep his place. But maybe the patience with Kofeld will run out if he has another performance like against Mainz.
Yeah, I thought that goal would just kind of open the floodgates a little bit, you know.
Yeah, Yeah, I would have hoped so, certainly.
It doesn't always happen that way. Let's talk about Mainz, who were Bremen's opponents, and we'll move on to their game, because they are this weekend at home against Bayern. Now, Bayern have scored 20 times across the last four games against Mainz. They've won 6-0, 6-1, 3-1, and 5-2. Great news for fantasy owners. And a certain Robert Lewandowski is looking to make up for some lost time if he does return from injury in his race to break Gerd Müller's all-time goal-scoring record in a single Bundesliga season. And that's not great news for Mainz, because on top of that, they haven't beaten Bayern since a 2-1 win in the Allianz Arena back in 2015-16.
You know who scored the winner in that game?
Oh, don't test me, because I should. I 100% should. And I want to say it's someone like Adam Schalke, but I think he was at Hoffenheim at the time, actually.
It wasn't Schalke. One of my favorite players.
Of all time?
No, of all time. That's stretching it a bit. But
is he still at Mainz?
No.
Ah, rubbish.
Well, he's still in the Bundesliga, James.
Still in the Bundesliga. Oh, that's...
So everyone out there, you can have a guess in your head.
I was going to say, now you can definitely have a guess. A Mainz player that's still in the Bundesliga.
Yes.
Hold on. Like, come on.
And he's a striker.
And he's a striker?
Yes.
Hold on. What Mainz strikers have been bought by other Bundesliga teams? At some point, this penny's going to drop.
He was born in South America.
Wait, who am I missing? Who's still active?
He's pretty athletic, but sometimes doesn't take every opportunity.
Not John. It is John.
Of course
it's John.
Yeah.
Mr. Hon Cordova. Oh, that annoys me. It took me that long to get to, but I'm glad you let me get there in the end, admittedly with a fair few clues. But
back then I was head of the Hon Cordova fan club.
Yeah.
And so I fondly remember him scoring the winner.
I was trying to work out which Bundesliga club has bought a striker off of Mainz that's still, you know, do you think of your Yoshinori Mutos or your Shinji Okazakis and things like that. They've all moved on. Like, very few have stayed in the Bundesliga.
I was thinking you're going Ucha or stuff like that. That would also be possible.
But I also knew Ucha hadn't scored against Bayern. That's the problem.
And I think at that season he already was at Bremen. But like that,
it's all right. Yeah. It's all right. No, I really appreciate the quiz question. Actually, that was a nice break.
I think it took too long. So sorry to everyone out there. I hope you enjoyed having a small trivia quiz.
Well, go on. Yeah, go on. Tell me about this game. Mainz against Bayern. So Hon Cordova was the man that scored the last time, or the winner the last time Mainz beat Bayern. It's been a rough road for them, and now Lewandowski's returning. How do you feel about this game? And is Lewandowski a kind of a must-have? You've got to bring him back in the minute he's back.
I will bring him back, I think, unless there's some like crazy news from now till the weekend that all my players all of a sudden got injured and I don't have a transfer I can make up front. I will bring him back, because like that's the last goal that Bayern would love to achieve this season, is getting the record for Lewandowski. And I
absolutely
and they will do everything they can. And as I said it before, maybe even the referees will get award Bayern a penalty here or there. That's a bit light.
Flow. Calm yourself down.
I can see that happening. So I think Lewandowski is like odds on the big favorite to score the most fantasy points from now on until the end of the season, until he gets the threshold of getting to 41. Because I think getting 40 would be nice, but he definitely wants to break the record, not just tie it. So, yeah, 6 goals to go for him. And I think that's an achievable goal for Robert Lewandowski. And I definitely want to bank these points in my fantasy account.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I think he's going to come back very motivated, absolutely. And I mean, I guess the other thing we should maybe talk about with Bayern is Jamal Musiala, because last time we recorded, you weren't so hot on his prospects, and he kind of proved you wrong in the two games that followed.
Yeah, definitely.
But he is expected to be dropped this weekend, because I think Leon Goretzka is expected to return, and Lewandowski as well, which kind of drops everyone back a little bit. So there's a chance that Musiala won't start. But if you had him and you rode him for those two games, you know, just under 2 million in terms of his price tag, well played to you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we were high on him 2 weeks back, so yeah, But I definitely didn't expect him to start last weekend. Yeah, that's
all scored two correct. Goals, right? I think that was the biggest surprise.
But, yeah, I was thinking I had one good and one bad take. The bad take was Musiala, but I had a good one too. But I'm not getting there what the good take was now. But
you're asking me to go back two match days, Flo.
No, I don't know
how we're quite meant to remember that.
I'm just trying to defend myself.
You know what?
Here,
I'm pretty confident in every show we've ever recorded, Flo, you've had one hot take that's been really good and one hot take that's been really bad. Normally, I probably have about one that's good and three that are bad over the course of an entire episode, I reckon.
No, you're doing fine, James.
This season, I've acquitted myself much better, but there are a few odd ones. What was it? It was midweek. Midweek was the perfect example. My two super Schnäppchen, Murray and Durm, both didn't start their matches, and I just went, oh dear, there you go. Those are the ones that I've kind of stuck my neck out a little bit and had it chopped off.
Yeah, but I was on Durm as well. And I mean, in the in midweek fixtures, predicting the lineups is always too tough. So I don't think you should beat yourself up if you invest in a player who in the end isn't starting, because it's like really tough to predict.
Well, it's all right. Eric Durm can make it up to me this weekend, starting with the game against Leverkusen,
sure, hope so.
Which is the next game we'll move on to. Because we are one game short with the Hertha-Schalke game being the final of Hertha's three games that are postponed. Of course, they have now released the dates of that. 6 games in 20 days for Hertha to close out the season.
Nice. Yeah.
You can look at it both ways, right? They'll know exactly what they need to do to survive. But 6 games in 20 days to save yourselves, not the most enjoyable situation to find themselves in. But let's focus on Leverkusen against Frankfurt. Now, Die Werkself have won the last 5 meetings with Eintracht on home soil, scoring at least 3 times on each occasion. But Frankfurt are vying for their first ever Champions League qualification. They're guaranteed a top 6 finish now, which is already a success for the Eagles. But in terms of this fixture, Flo, I mean, I'm reading a stat like that. You know, they've won the last 5 meetings. They've scored at least 3 goals on each occasion. I'm going, yeah, but I can't see that quite being the case this time around. Leverkusen, very different side. Yes, this upturn in form under Hannes Wolf has been decent.
There's no upturn in form.
I would like.
There's an upturn in result. I don't see an upturn in form.
Oh, that's an interesting. Okay, that's an interesting debate. Yeah.
I mean, they were sitting, I think, at 44% possession in a home game against Cologne. And they had 6 shots or stuff like that. And Cologne had 14 or 15.
You can't set a record. You can't set a record for their season against Leverkusen.
No, I'm like, that's Leverkusen's fool's goal under Hannes Wolf.
Yeah.
They did pick up 7 points but they did who were they getting points against? Schalke and Cologne, they won. And they drew at Hoffenheim. And they lost at Bayern. So that's it.
But they shored up the back line, right? And then Bayern tore that apart. And the problem is, I look at a game like this against Frankfurt and go, Frankfurt will find the same vulnerabilities.
Yes, and they don't have a clue what to do going forward under Hannes Wolf. They're just relying on the individual quality of the players. And I personally don't think that's going to be enough to beat Frankfurt.
No, I agree. So, I mean, who are you picking from this game? I mean, is it the obvious choices, the Durms, the Kostic, the Silvers, or is there someone that could be a differential here that you fancy?
No, I don't think I'm not sure how popular the Frankfurt players are, because they had a tough run of games, but I think all 3 of these players are good, and probably like Silva the most, because he's so a reliable shot producer. But I like all 3 of these, and I think that Durm is to start, but he's the only one where I feel like maybe he's not in the starting 11. I'm not sure. How good was Chandler when he did play?
Again, I didn't watch the full game. What I did see, he didn't turn up or pop up a lot in the highlights, let's say.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that Hütter will probably look at the whole game, not just the highlights.
That's very fair. So I'd hope so. But I just wondered whether Durm was rested.
I'm not 100% sure with Durm. Yeah. I expect him to be back, but there's some of that. And we're recording that's the problem with midweek fixtures. Usually we have a few days after the match day before we record the next pod. And now it's yesterday and Tuesday, and we both had to work. So, yeah, pardon us.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the whole football world was burning behind the scenes, you know. So there was just a small matter of a Super League that everyone was trying to create.
And then usually, like, if Bremen loses, I totally lose interest in the game of football itself for decent stretch of time. So, yeah, that's also adding to the problems.
No, I agree. But I mean, the good thing is, in the midst of all this, the Bundesliga has still served up some very good entertainment, even if we've missed some of it during midweek because it was all just too much. Every now and again, it's a bit too much football. And whoever thought you'd be complaining about something like that? But we are, as we said, nearing the end of the season. So we're not too far away. And then we got the Euros, but you won't be getting a fantasy podcast from us during that. So don't you worry. There will be a bit of time off. Let's move on to the next game then. If it really is, the usual candidates in that game between Leverkusen and Frankfurt, let's move on to Leipzig against Stuttgart, because I mean, this is an interesting one as well. Leipzig currently proving the biggest bottle jobs in the Bundesliga, because they've had the opportunities and they just haven't been able to pick up results against teams they really should have picked up results against. Hoffenheim and now losing to Köln, and now they're at home to Stuttgart, but they haven't won any of their last three games on home soil, which is their longest dry spell ever at the Red Bull Arena. And meanwhile, they have never lost to Stuttgart in this fixture. They've played five times previously. They've won four, they've drawn one. And so you would hope that maybe they can keep that track run going, but the form hasn't been great from them, and the rotation hit us all in midweek. Whether you went for Olmo or Sabitzer on the weekend, you got hit. And that was maybe the saving grace for whether you went for Olmo or Sabitzer, as at least the other option got hit too in midweek. But where are you at with this one? And can we actually rely, Flo, on Leipzig to deliver for us now?
Yeah, I think you can rely on Leipzig, especially since Stuttgart also lost four out of the last five matches. So it's not like they're gleaming with self-confidence. And like I said, their season is basically over. And I think that Leipzig will do all they can to secure the Champions League spot, which they will have if they just win this game. And I think that's motivation enough to seal things up. Yeah, that's why I'm banking on Leipzig and Stuttgart. Also, like, they concede a lot of shots on goal, and that's what I like about this game. And you said before, I think 23 shots on goal at Cologne, so at least there were shots created. Probably not by the players you had in your squad, but at least some merit. And I got a question because I went with Mukiele and I brought him in myself because I saw the lineup and Kicker had it tactical wise as a three-man back line with Halstenberg playing as a center back. But they were playing with a four-man back line and Halstenberg as a left back. And like, if I'd knew that, I probably would have gone Halstenberg over Mukiele, but you don't really know that. Haidara did play on the flanks with a three-man back line before, so it wasn't like that was out of the question. That was the issue. So I somebody hit me up on Twitter and asked about Halstenberg. That was my reasoning with going with Mukiele. Yeah, but like, I still think you can trust your Leipzig assets as long as they're really set to start.
Do you count Angelino in that?
Yes, I do.
Because we talked about, his form before his injury wasn't great. He had dropped off a little bit in terms of his output and production in the final third. He came back, he got brought off at halftime. Nagelsmann talked about the fact that he wasn't pleased with Angelino's performance, wasn't giving enough in that role and was finding himself out of position, then gets dropped in midweek. And I have to admit, given his price tag of over 16 million, I'm a little bit worried as an owner as to whether he is just actually taking up a big budget hole in my team when I don't need him to. Because there's no guarantee that the upside is ever going to show up again for Angelino before the end of the season if Leipzig have nothing to play for.
Okay, I think the upside is there if he's in a starting lineup, and I feel decently confident that he's going to play. Like, unless Nagelsmann wants to teach him a lesson of some kind, and I can't gouge that. Yeah, I still think that he'll start, and then I would be happy to have him in my squad. I don't have him right now. And I'm not sure that I will be able to bring him in, but he's definitely on my short list of players I might bring in tomorrow.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, that's good to hear, I guess, as an owner. And so, I mean, is this the game in terms of flexibility that you're looking at as the prime target, or is it maybe our next one, which is Gladbach against Bielefeld? And, you know, we might as well segue into it. That worked out quite nicely because Gladbach and Bielefeld close out the match day, and having gone 9 games without victory in all competitions prior to that 3-0 win over Schalke, Gladbach were on a 4-game unbeaten streak up until their midweek loss to Hoffenheim, and it admittedly, that was a game they probably shouldn't have let play out of their hands. Meanwhile, they're coming up against Bielefeld, and only Schalke have found the back of the net fewer times than Bielefeld this season. Is there someone to trust in this match day flow? And as I said, where are we looking for the flexibility this weekend?
I still think that Leiner and Benzebaini are both decent choices in defense. I like Jonas Hofmann as a midfield differential option. He's high priced, but we know he can deliver. I expect that Gladbach will be the better side in that match, and they are able to at least create a lot of shots against Bielefeld. I think that's possible, and Hofmann will have a hand or feet in it pretty often, especially because of his set piece duties. So I'm pretty high on Jonas Hofmann. And up front, that's Thuram and Player, who are decent choices. But like the role uncertainty with both of these guys, that like it's not like one of these is always playing as a out and out striker. I have Player. I probably have to stick with him because I'd rather have Player on a standalone fixture and then sell Haaland to get in Levy, who's playing at the same kickoff time than Haaland does. But like if I would set up my team now with unlimited transfer, definitely wouldn't think about Player as one of my choices. So he's not a player I'm keen to bring in, but I'm willing to ride it out with him, I guess is the best way to phrase it. And no interest at all on the Bielefeld side of the ball. Like you said, they're just creating not enough to really make them interesting for me, although they had a few players having great performances, but that was against Schalke, so you should probably discount that.
Yeah, just a little bit, right? I was desperately trying to go through my notifications on Twitter to find out who exactly it was that dipped into the Vogelsammer market last weekend, because I almost wanted to apologize to them a little bit because it didn't quite work out the way I thought it would. And admittedly, when we were talking on that Friday night about who would be the best options for a striker under, I think it was under 7 million or under 8 million, I thought about Peter Musa and then ended up not throwing his name out there because I still thought Vogelsammer was the better option. I hope it didn't cost you too much in your private leagues for going that route. But I think I agree with you, Flo. Steer clear of Bielefeld. Gladbach are the investable market. I brought in Hofmann in midweek knowing that I would, you know, I'd have this game in the back pocket with him, even if he didn't necessarily play or do as well in midweek. And he played 90 minutes and only picked up 3 points. Not the greatest, but I agree that he's a very valuable pick from this game. Shall we move on to our player picks then and close out the show for this episode?
Yeah, maybe we should also clarify that Gladbach is then traveling to Munich after this match, but
very true.
So yeah. Beware of that fact.
No, very valuable point. Yeah, you've definitely got your eyes on the fixture list ahead, and I just don't right now. Admittedly, I should just be opening up the Excel file that's done by official DNL. But anyway, Flo, you've got the eye on it. So talk to me about your player picks. Let's start with the Vegas choice.
I'm going with Jonas Hofmann. We just talked about. I think he could be your saving grace on the last kickoff time of the match. They could have a really big fantasy game against Bielefeld because, like, similar to Cologne, Bielefeld is coming off a very important win, emotionally straining for them, a hard-fought win against Schalke. It could be a tough task for them playing at Gladbach. But maybe it's wishful thinking because I'd like them to lose because of the Bremen situation, but we'll see. But still think, like, Hofmann is coming with risk attached, but, like, his ceiling is like up there with almost the best fantasy players. So, yeah,
Well, speaking of the best fantasy players, my Vegas choice is a man that is in fine form, and that is Jonas Hector. But I think the reason I've put him in Vegas choice is because of what we discussed earlier. And admittedly, he would probably be my banker if he was a defender, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
But because he's not a defender, and admittedly, I only figured that out again, because, you know, he's not a player that we've really had on our list at all or on our radar as a fantasy player. And I'd forgotten.
Because of that fact, James, I think we would have talked about him earlier. He were a defender in the game.
Very true. But yeah, because of that, he'd got off my radar. I'd completely forgotten that he was a midfielder. Went to look him up today. I was like, oh, he'll be a great pick for my team this weekend. And went, oh, he's a midfielder. I'm not so sure about it now, which is why he's the Vegas choice. Because form over fixtures, it's something that we do preach every now and again. And Jonas Hector is in fine form. He's basically trying to put a one-man survival show on for Köln right now, which is lovely to see. And it was great to see what he produced against Leipzig. But you don't know whether it's going to continue. And let's talk about Super Schnäppchen then, Flo. Who are you fancying?
I'm going with Iago. I really like him for 3.6 million. I think he could be a great player to start the match day as your star man. And unlike myself, you're not just forgetting to change your star man. You actually will leave it because he had a really good performance.
Yeah, I like the pick. I think Iago's a very good pick at left back, especially if he does return. I mean, because Mads Pedersen, from what I did see, didn't look great against Bielefeld either. So you'd think they would be trying to get Iago back in as soon as possible, and it would be a great time to bring him in for Friday night.
He played 90 minutes second to last match day, so he's already ready to go.
Oh, on the weekend. See, there you go. It's the sunny obvious from the weekend. I love this. This is brilliant. Yeah. You get the real raw effect of and I figuring things out and all the bits and bobs we've missed over a mad couple of days. I had not realized that Iago came back and played 90 minutes, admittedly, on the weekend. So, all right, that makes the pick even better, in my opinion.
I'm definitely double-checking that, but you go on.
There you go.
Yeah, he did. He did pick up 13 points in the goalless draw against Bielefeld. So there you go.
Okay, right. I should have been paying attention. Right. Good to know. But that makes him an even better Super Schnäppchen pick, admittedly, especially with his price tag at 3.6 million. I admittedly was initially going to go with Jonas Horn and just flip the script and pick the other left back. But because I picked Jonas Hector, I thought, you know what? I'll change it up. And genuinely looking through the cut price players and their fixtures this weekend, you can't really go to any Mainz players. They're up against Bayern, you know, Stuttgart. They've got Leipzig. And so I just wonder whether someone like Petar Musa, 6.6 million, the Union Berlin striker up against Werder Bremen, may actually be not a bad route to go down this week if you really need to cut your budget. If you're the guy that brought in Andreas Vogelsammer and you need to save even more money, Petar Musa might be the way to go this weekend. But yeah, act with caution on that one. Let me just put it that way.
How many points did Vogelsammer get, James?
Do you want me to check? Oh, this is going to be bad. I don't want to check.
No, I'm going to check that. You lead to our next segment, and I'm going to check Vogelsammer.
The next segment is, of course, our banker, the one that we turn to every week. And admittedly, it's not an easy week for a banker. We've got some big stars returning. But you know what? I'll throw mine out there first, and I'm going to double down here on Christopher Nkunku. Because he's had a bad couple of games and hasn't scored, and I fancy him breaking that duck against Stuttgart. Although I will throw Olmo in the mix as well, because he did get dropped in midweek, so will be rested. If you don't have Olmo in your squad, this may not be a bad time to invest. And I'm throwing that out there mainly because I think a lot of people will already have Christopher Nkunku. So it's a bit of a cheat of a banker.
Yeah. And I feel safer with Olmo that he's in the starting lineup than with Nkunku.
You think, that's a tough one. Yeah,
well,
with Nagelsmann,
you never
you're
know.
Right.
Like, so we've seen him letting Nkunku on the bench at times. So, yeah, there's some small amount of doubt there. Not enough for me to shy away from Nkunku in any way. But if you don't have a Leipzig midfielder, then maybe, although I like Nkunku a bit more when they both are on the pitch, maybe I'd lean towards getting Olmo in your squad just because I think that after being dropped in midweek, he'll certainly be in the starting lineup for Leipzig.
And I think a lot of people, because they were the Friday night fixture, they'll have transferred him out. So he actually becomes a differential this week, because I'm not sure a lot of people will be looking to bring him straight back in.
Yeah, I held on to Olmo because I had so many other
priorities.
Other problems in my squad was suspended and injured players, but yeah, for those of you who sold him, maybe bringing him back again. Definitely not a bad idea. And Andreas Fugazama did pick up 6 points, James. So, yeah.
That was in midweek.
Midweek, yeah.
What about on the weekend? What was the game before that? Tell me he picked up more than 6 the game before that. Admittedly, I mean, even if he didn't, he's probably still fared better than some of the striker choices I made with my transfers. I mean,
wow.
I brought in Silva when he scored 2 points. I had Alario when he got dropped. Well, it hasn't been great for me in the strikers department since the international break, I'll be honest.
Yeah, 5 points for Fugazama.
Oh, okay. So unfortunately, if you'd brought in Mateusz Kunja, you'd have automatically got more points, but you wouldn't have been able to afford it.
But you still have, like, your absinthe to go to with Fugazama.
That's it, right? That's it. Oh, dear. How about your banker pick, Flo? I've rambled on about mine. We've talked about Nkunku. I should maybe...
Yeah, you know that I like to play that down the middle. And I'm going with Robert Lewandowski.
It's a good pick.
Yeah. Do everything you can to bring him in back in. I mean, it could happen that he will be substituted out early, but I really can see that only happening after, like, he has to have at least a brace before Flick will, think about getting him out, unless he's not hurt. So, yeah, definitely my banker pick. Without any question.
Yeah, I think it's an okay bank.
And since no real fantasy manager has Lewandowski in his squad.
It's
now,
the one time you can get away with it.
So it's like, that's the question, is how many will prioritize getting him in back and having the funds to do it. So I would definitely I'll bring Lewandowski in, period. So
you know what? Yeah. I'm gonna be doing everything I can to get him in my squad as well. And I agree with Flo, you should too.
But you could be more differential and not bring him in.
No, what are you doing? Look at you trying to play mind games with me so that you can catch up with me this weekend. No, I'm not having it, Flo. Leave Lewandowski out. He scores a hat trick against Mainz. Hey,
look so smart if you bring in Musa. Leave 20 million on the table.
And Musa outscores Lewandowski.
And him outscoring Lewandowski.
You know what? I'd always like to say we need to set up a challenge. Like, if Musa scores more points than Lewandowski on the weekend, I have to do some sort of forfeit. But I don't know what we could do on a podcast, to be honest. It's a tough one. You know what, listeners? If you come up with anything, tweet me. And we'll consider it, because I'll happily accept that. But you know what? It would be an incredible differential. But the problem is, Flo, it's much more likely that Lewandowski scores a hat-trick as your starman gets 30-plus points and I look like an idiot. So
yeah, but where's the fun in that?
Yeah. Right, I know, right? Hey, you've got to take some risks at the top sometimes.
Yeah,
I know that.
That's why I always told you.
Well, we'll see what risks I take, and we'll see whether Flo's mind games work on Friday night. Watch me panic tomorrow now and make some absolutely nonsense decision because I've got no budget. But anyway, we'll leave it there, ladies and gents, for this week's episode of Talking Fußball Fantasy. For now, if you haven't yet, of course, follow us on Twitter, give us a like on Facebook, and join the Talking Fußball Fantasy League. For now, though, from me, your host, James Thorogood Flo, and the rest of the Talking Fußball crew, auf Wiederhören.
Auf Wiederhören.